We are wrapping up our series called Why Church. And if you haven't joined us for the first 3 weeks, we talked about how church isn't just a building. It isn't just a country club where we come together and see our friends. But church is actually a movement. And it's a global movement bent on enhancing the life of everybody on earth to know God, to come into a relationship with God, and to experience the eternity that God has placed in each and every one of us and wants to bestow on everybody. Where have we seen that enhancing life around here? That's weird. Hill of Rance, do you see that anywhere? I don't know. It's just, there's a banner in the overflow. I don't know if. Okay, online says the sound is perfect. Good. That is the movement. That is the mission. That is what God has called the church to be. It's not just about us. It's not about coming here, feeling safe, having our little group of friends and our little clique. No, we're supposed to be aggressively, relentlessly, outward bound, pursuing those who don't know Jesus and fixing that so that they can experience the love and forgiveness and grace that God offers each and every one of us. And that moved us into the message of the church. We start off by saying that the reality is, Scripture teaches us that everybody is sinful by nature. It is, we're born that way, we are. Because of the actions of the first man and the first woman, we are sinful by nature. And that is hard to hear. It is hard to hear that there is something wrong with us deep below the surface. It is hard for us because school teaches us and psychology teaches us that we are basically good. And then God comes along and says, no, you're basically bad. There's a problem and you can't fix it. You need God to fix it. And so we start off by saying that there's a sin problem in our life. And Jesus stripped off his divinity, became man, and fixed the problem. He died to take away the sin of the world. But that wasn't the end of the story. The end of the next week, we dove into the second part of the message because Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus didn't just die to take away sin. Jesus rose again to give us new life. And that we were, because Jesus came back, because Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, he has destined us for bigger things, for something more than we can find anywhere else in this world. We have purpose, we have a plan. Psalm 139 says that God planned every single one of our days before even one began. He has a good and awesome plan for each and every one of us. And as we draw near to him and we grow in that relationship, we discover the purpose, the meaning of life, as the world calls it. We discover why God put us together, what we were meant to do with the time that we have. Because if all of our days were recorded, that means that God knows when it's going to begin, but he also knows when it's going to end. And there's nothing, we can't go beyond the days that God has recorded for us. We have a limited amount of time, and the question is, are we going to make the most of it? And as we've been going through this, these are all really good reasons to go to any Bible-believing, Jesus-following church. These are just universal things that apply to, I'll say, most churches. To say all churches, I think, is being a little generous. I'm not going to elaborate too much more on that because somebody's going to get offended. But not everyone who slaps church on the building is actually Bible-believing, Christ-following church, right? Like that, we know that. We go on media for 30 seconds and we see that. We know that. But if you go to a church, and for this is for everyone online, if you go to a church that is, the Bible is the Word of God and it is the foundation of everything, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only way to the Father, then that church falls part of that movement. It is part of our group. It's part of our family. And I wanted to close this morning by saying, asking the question, why one church? I'm giving you a couple of good reasons to go to a good church, but why do you pick one church? Why would people want to come to this campus? Why would people want to go to Redverse campus. Why? Why one church? And before we get too far into this, I want to ask you our first question. So if you're watching online, I ask questions. You can leave comments in the comments section, either on Facebook or YouTube. If you're in person, talk amongst yourselves, discuss. I'll be honest, coming up with questions this week was really tough because I just wanted to talk and I wanted you to listen. But I'm going to allow for questions this week. But they might end next week. Okay, so question number one, what is the role of the church in your life? Discuss that amongst yourselves. What is the role of the church in your life? And this is a question that bids a little bit of honesty. Because maybe the church has a huge role. Maybe it is imperative. It is a major part of your life. It is the unmoving, unquestionable thing. For some people, church isn't that big of a deal. And we don't realize that until somebody asks, because we're not asking ourselves those hard questions. We're not asking ourselves, why is church important to me? What is the role of church in my life? Is it just the good thing that we do each and every week to get the gold star, to check the box and say, yeah, I'm still a good person because I went to church? Or is church something more? For everyone online, why do maybe you're still in bed in your pajamas drinking your coffee and you just opened the laptop. But why did you open the laptop this morning? What is the role of church in your life? And when we ask this question, it leads to a question of mission. What is the mission of the church? What is the point? And as a church, as a Bible-believing, Christ-following, Holy Spirit-led church, yes, I added the third one in there because we got the Holy Spirit, we fall under this general mission. Every church that's part of this big global movement falls under this mission. Matthew 28:19, most of you could recite it in your sleep. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Oh, my version said obey. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go, make disciples, get them baptized, and then teach them to observe everything that I've taught you. And historically, in the general church, we're really good with the first one. Make disciples, right? And we talked about this. We talked about how we're really good with getting people to pray the prayer, right? I've checked the box, I've prayed the prayer, I'm in, and we're like, yoo-hoo, yeah, we got somebody saved. And we might, most of the time, we'll get people to get baptized, because baptism is a huge part of our faith. If you read all throughout Scripture, when people got saved in the New Testament, they were almost immediately baptized. They didn't wait. We like to wait, okay? I've made this commitment, and you give it a couple years. Wait for my buddy, or wait for my pastor friend who's available to come. No, in the Bible, it was save, baptism. The two were almost all right in one action. It was the way for them to publicly declare that I am now a Christian, I am now following Christ, and this is my public acknowledgement, declaration, commitment, and everybody now knows it. But if I can be completely transparent, there have been times throughout church history that we haven't really been good with the teaching to observe. We've not always been good with the giving of the tools to make sure that this new believer is going to last, going to endure beyond that initial year. And so, as I've been praying and as I've been, I've got, thanks to COVID, I've had lots of time to think about this. This is the mission of One Church. I want us to be the church that equips people. We are the church that is going to equip people to live an effective life with bold faith. That is our mission. That is what we as One Church are going to do. We're going to be the equippers. We are still committed to seeing people get saved. We're still committed to seeing people get baptized, but we're going to focus in on this missing element. We're going to be the equipping people. We are going to be the ones who come alongside and say, here's the tools. Because this is what it means to equip.
Unless I'm diving into scripture right away. I hope not. No, oh, I am. Never mind. Here's why we're going to equip. Let's do that. Here's why I believe that we are called to be an equipping church. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with every good to do his will. Everything good to do his will. Working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the God of the universe, the God, the Holy Spirit, who rose Jesus from the dead, may he equip you with everything good to do his will. And then we get to Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, talking about Jesus here, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Now, I want to reread that, but I want to read it the way that it's typically read. And this isn't just general. This is, like, pastors are bad for this too. So Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we reach all unity with faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. We skip four of those words. We give some to be apostles, prophets, for the work of the ministry. And this is, I think this is honestly why so many churches struggle with this 20-80 problem. 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, because people believe that because I'm the pastor and I'm paid, that I have to do all the work. And one of my weaknesses, so full disclosure, I'm more than happy to do that. I'm more than happy to do all the work, and you're more than happy to let me do all the work. The only problem is, it's not sustainable. If I do everything, I get burnt out, and then I'm no good to anybody. And then you're looking for another pastor. I can't do all the work because it's tiring, it's exhausting, and I can't do it all, and you can't let me do all the work. So what's God's solution? To equip the saints. And who are the saints? You're the saints. If you have declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have been baptized, if you haven't been baptized, come talk to me, we got to fix that problem. But if you have declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're the saints, and it is my job to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It is not my job to do all the work. And so as one church, this is our job, this is our mission, this is what God has laid on us to do. We are going to be the equipping church. And what does it mean to equip people? Equipping, providing of all necessary facilities for achieving a task. Now that's really fancy, basically giving you everything you need to accomplish what God has set you out to do. Equipping, to give you everything you need to achieve a task. And I would even go a step further and say, not just achieve, but succeed and thrive in the task that God has called you to. I believe it is our job as the church to equip you to grow in the calling that God has given you. And we talked about this last week, how God has given each and every one of us a calling. Well, our role is to equip you to accomplish that calling in faith, in fullness, in joy, in happiness. We are going to be an equipping church. Now we go back to Psalm 139. And we say that God has planned out every one of our days. Wouldn't it stand to reason that God has already equipped us with everything we need to accomplish the things that God has called us to? And I would say, yeah, I think God has given you everything. So what has God given you to accomplish this calling, accomplish this mission? Well, I think there's four things God has given us. Number one, he's given you the calling. He's given you the direction. He has given each and every one of you the plan and the purpose. There's a lot of people who spend a lot of their time in life trying to discover the quote-unquote meaning of life. There's a lot of people who spend their whole life lost because they never find this plan and this purpose.
And the good news of the gospel is that when you come into a relationship, God gives you the plan. God gives you the purpose. God gives you the strategies and the visions. Proverbs says this, without revelation, people run wild. But one who follows divine instruction will be happy. I like the King James one better. Where there is no vision, people die. That's what King James says. There's no vision, people die. So what does God do when you come into a relationship? He gives you vision. So he's already given you the most important part. The second thing God gives you is he gives you spiritual gifts. We read throughout 1 Corinthians, even Romans. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. These are spiritual gifts, and you can tell when it is spiritual because it is just a little bit extra than a normal teacher. Someone who has a spiritual gift of teaching just does it way more naturally than somebody who learned to teach. Somebody who has the gift of leadership just does it way more naturally than somebody who has to learn how to be a leader. When we have these spiritual gifts, I honestly believe it gives us the advantage over everybody else to accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish. God gives you spiritual gifts. God gives you a spiritual boost to accomplish the things he has called you to. So he's equipped you with calling. He's equipped you with spiritual gifts. He equips you with the word of God. You want to know how to hear God's voice? Get into this. Because God will never contradict himself. So if you're praying and you think God's listening to you, but it doesn't line up with scripture, it's not God speaking to you. This is the most powerful thing that God has given us. Why? 1 Timothy, all scripture, all of this is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So the man of God may be complete. There it is again. Equipped for every good work. What does Paul say to Timothy? You want to be equipped? You want to be ready to do every good work? Get into this. Read your Bible. And what's the last thing God has given us? God's given us his Holy Spirit. Like we've got calling, we've got spiritual gifts, we've got his word, but this is the big one. God actually put himself within each and every one of us. This is what Paul says, this is what it says in Acts. When they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit came into each and every one of them, and they were filled with boldness that they didn't have before. Here we go. This is Paul. Ephesians chapter 1. In him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So what's Paul saying? When you believed, when you heard the word, came to faith, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came, and he is your validation. He is the one that verifies the fact that you are sealed, so you are equipped. And when we say Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Spirit that was there, that was hovering over the void, black, empty earth before God started creation. We're talking about the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead on the day when Jesus was resurrected. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who sustains all of creation. All of that in you to give you the edge to accomplish things. Because let's just be honest, if God called you to something, it's not going to be easy on your own. If God has called you to something, it's going to be big, it's going to be bold, it's going to be ambitious, and it's going to take God's help to accomplish it. So if God has already given us all of the stuff, everything we need really to accomplish this vision, and how does the church equip us when we've already got everything we need? And this is what I got to say to that. It is one thing to know that God has given us a calling. It's another thing to know what it is. And some of us, And everyone's at different points of the journey, but sometimes we don't know what that calling is. That's where the church comes in, and we're going to help you discover that calling. We're going to do classes. We're going to do training. We were going to help you discover how does everything that has happened in life and everything that God has given you, how does it all fit together into a vision, into a calling, into a mission statement for your own life? Because we might, some of you may know exactly what it is. I could sit down with you, ask you what you're calling, and you could give it to me. And some of us may have a vague idea, but we can't really nail it down at the moment. Some of us may just have no idea. I would love for all of us to get to that point where we can rattle it off. We all know exactly what God has put us on this earth to be. And I think that's where we come in as a church. We will equip you. We will help you find that out. It is one thing to be given spiritual gifts. It is another to know how to use it. It is another, because let's be honest, we get on TV, we see people misusing spiritual gifts. And not only just having it, but having the confidence to be able to step into a situation and to be able to just unleash it in the situation. So we're going to create space for you to discover what your spiritual gift is, to practice it, to get comfortable with it, to be confident with it, and to be able to use it on a moment's notice when the time calls for it. We're going to help you. God has given it to you. We're not giving you anything you don't already have, but we're going to help you figure out what it is and how it works. The Word of God. Paul says the Word of God is a double-edged, is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, cut through bone and marrow. This is a weapon. And if we don't have to wait very long to see people who have misused this thing. It is one thing to have a Bible. It is one thing to read it. But are you getting everything you can out of it that you can? Are you reading it for all it's worth? Guess what? My degree is in biblical studies. I can train you how to read this effectively, powerfully, to get everything you need out of it to help you accomplish the task and to apply it to your life in a way that is powerful, meaningful, and is going to set you up for success in a way that nobody else will. It's one thing to have these things, it's another to know how to use it. And I think that's where One Church comes in. We're going to show you how to take advantage of the things that God has equipped you for. Oops. Skipped over that. Question 2. Of those 4 things, the seal of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, reading of God's word, and discovering your calling, which of those 4 things most interest you to learn? You can discuss it amongst yourselves. If you're watching online, throw it in the comment section. Which of those things are you like, you know what? I really would go. I would go to that session. I would go to the one about my calling to help me discover what it is. I think I know what it is, but I just need a little bit of help to nail it down. I would go to that one with the spiritual gifts. And are there some other things that you're curious about that we need to touch on? Let me know. I would love to talk about things that you're curious about. So like picking it out of the hat. Ooh, we're going to talk about this today. Let me know. Give me some direction. What are some things that we can talk about or do workshops on that would help you live confidently and boldly and effectively in the life that God has called you to? So it's all good to stand up here and say, One Church is going to be an equipping church. We're going to help you discover what it is. You're going to help you do all this stuff. It all sounds fine and dandy, but there's a catch. There's always a catch, right? Like it's it sounds really good. What's the catch? What's the fine print, Matt? Yeah. Here's the catch. In order for this to work, in order for us to be the equipping church that God has called us to be, it doesn't mean I do all of the equipping all the time. There's going to be seasons where you are the one being equipped. There are going to be seasons where you're the one serving, but there's going to come a time where we're going to ask you to be the one doing the equipping. We're going to ask you to be the one doing the teaching. We're going to ask you to step up and to not just stay where you are, because there's going to be seasons where you're going to fluctuate between. There's going to be seasons where you're teaching. There's going to be seasons when you're learning. There's going to be seasons when you're serving. And I'm okay with people moving through. What I'm not okay with is if we stay in the always taking in, taking in, taking in, but never giving it back. And I am, this vision comes with an expectation that each and every one of us, whether you're here, you're in Redverse, you're online, you're going to have your seasons of taking in, but you're also going to have your seasons of giving back. Hebrews says this. He says, there's some of you that are still drinking spiritual milk and you should be taking in meat. You should be teaching, and yet you're still acting as a student. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. The author of Hebrews called it out back then. And I'm going to say it again. There are some of you here that have been taking in, taking in, taking in far too long, and it's time to start giving back. You are in the season of life. You're in the season of your faith. It is time to step up and start being the equipper, not constantly being equipped. And the more we step into that and we step into our roles as teacher and student and servant, then we as a church can step into new things as I get freed up, as you take on some of the things that I am currently doing, I get to do new things. And we take on new ventures and we start new ministries and we can start equipping in new ways and we can, because part of the process is I'm getting equipped. I'm learning, I'm developing, I'm learning new skills so I can give it to you. It's not just, woohoo, look at my resume. No, I'm going to be learning to give to you. And if I can't teach it, I'll find somebody that can. That is my commitment. If I can't teach it, I will find somebody who can. What is the mission and vision of One Church? We are going to be an equipping church. We are going to equip you to live a life that is effective with bold faith. We're going to give you all the resources, all the things that you need to accomplish the thing that God has called you to, and we're going to help you discover all those gifts, all that equipping that God has already done that's going to set you apart, set you on the path of success to do all that God has called you to. Why One Church? Because we're going to equip you to succeed. We're going to equip you to live a life that is exceptional, that everybody else wishes they had, but God is going to give you in overwhelming abundance. Worship team, you can start coming up. I invite you to stand. I'm going to pray as the worship team makes their way up. It's okay. We can stand. I gave permission. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone. I pray for all of us, God, that you would just give us the clarity to know what you've called us to. God, that we would experience your love and we would experience your voice. God, that we would create those moments where we can hear you, embrace your calling, embrace your leading. God, to just step into those things that you have called us to. That sweet spot of life where all that we're passionate about and all of our gifts and all of our experience and everything comes together in this great and amazing sweet spot in life. And God, I pray for us as a church that we would help everyone who comes through those doors experience that life that you have called us all to. God, we love you. We are so excited to see what you're going to do in and through us this day and every day for the rest of our lives. God, we love you. Give you all our praise and thanks. In your precious name, everybody said, amen.